morning's first lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. This scripture asks us, how do we go about living as Christians in a society where we find ourselves increasingly on the margins? Let us listen to the words in Hebrews 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of your way of life and imitate your faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then skipping down to verses 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Then skipping down, when Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. I saw this story lived out a few weeks ago. Let me tell it to you. Jaylen and I went to a wedding, and we were sitting like four rows back. The rows in front of us were reserved seating for family and the very close friends. And while we were sitting there, a young man who had been part of our youth group came, and he sat down right behind us. And so we were talking with him, catching up with him, what all was going on in his life. And then somebody came back down and said, oh, you're supposed to be sitting in the reserve section. And so he got up and started to go up to the reserve section, and I told him this story. And so he goes, and they put him up on the very front row, right next to where the bride's mother would be sitting. And so he's there, and we're thinking, well, this is really appropriate, because he's really, even though he's not blood relative, he is part of the family. So he's being honored to be sitting there. Well, a few minutes later, they came, and they made him get up and move back to where he'd been sitting. Turns out they had him sit next to the bride's mother, but they forgot that the bride's father, once he took her down the aisle, would come back and sit next to his wife. So they made him move. So here he is, this poor guy, sees both ends of this parable that Jesus gives. Now, before I know it, Jaylen and I will be wrestling with wedding etiquette and how you are to seat people and how all that needs to be arranged. We'll be working with Bethany and her fiance and trying to figure all that out. But this parable is not about table etiquette or wedding etiquette. It is about the kingdom of God and the values of God's kingdom. We're told that the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely. They had invited him to come to this dinner. He was at the worship service that Sabbath, and they were watching him closely. They'd heard, he was a great teacher. They'd heard he'd done miracles, but they heard he was a troublemaker, that he was a lawbreaker, and they wanted to see for themselves. Well, we didn't read this part, but Jesus didn't disappoint them. He healed a man that was in the synagogue, healed the man on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees are starting to get all upset, and then he reveals to them their hypocrisy. He says, now, if you had a child or an ox that fell into the well on a Sabbath, you're going to pull them out, right? Even if it's the Sabbath, you're going to pull them out of the well. How's that different than healing this man on the Sabbath? Now, I told you they were watching Jesus very carefully. He was watching them too. And this is what we read. He was watching how people went and found their place to sit. There was a certain pecking order of where people sat, where they fit on the social ladder. And so he's watching all of this take place, and he says, when you're invited to the party, don't go sit in the place of honor. You probably aren't supposed to sit there anyway. But sit in the back. Sit at the kids' table. And when the host sees you there, he's going, oh, gosh, no, you can't sit there. And he'll take you up. And everyone will see that you get placed in a greater place of honor. And then some poor soul's got to get up and move back probably to the kids' table now. So he's saying, you need to be humble. Humble yourself, and then you will be exalted. Now, humility was not considered a wonderful trait in the ancient world. Not something you sought after. But Jesus teaches that is one of the values of the kingdom of God. That we are to humble ourselves. And that this is how we'll be great. Because God is the one that will reward us. But he doesn't stop just with be humble. He goes on and says, when you throw a party, when you have a dinner or a luncheon, don't go inviting your relatives and your friends and those that you know can repay you, those that are going to invite you to their party. No, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those people that can't repay you. Invite them to the party. They may not be able to repay you, but you will get your reward. You will be repaid in the day of the resurrection of the righteous. You'll get it back. Now, my guess is most of us don't tend to invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. I would relabel that maybe to the ignored, the forgotten, the least. People that we don't generally hang around with. But these are the ones we need to be inviting to the dinners. And I don't think it just means invite them to the church dinner and, woo, you're here. I think it means you're to be establishing a relationship with these people. Get to know them. Learn from them, because believe it or not, the kingdom of God is going to be being made up more of people like that than people like us. And there's much that we can learn from them if we'll take time to learn. But most of us don't even hang out where we come in contact with people like that. I want to brag about our church, because we did this past week. A couple of weeks ago, Brian Nissimer passed away. He was a member of our church, although probably he was an inactive member. But he passed away, and our church reached out in some really wonderful ways. Brian and his family, they're coming to our church, happened in a rather unusual way. They needed food. And so they came to our food pantry. Nothing unusual about that. We have people all the time coming and asking for food. What was unusual, though, was a short time later, Brian comes back with a bag of food to replenish our food pantry, what we gave them. I don't recall that ever happening in any of the other churches I've served that had food pantries. Someone bringing it back. And then he initiated with his family, his wife and two kids, to come to church. And they just sat right over here. I remember the first week they came. And got to know them. And they became active for quite a while, although Brian was bipolar. And Brian had a very difficult time being around crowds of people. And so a crowd like this was more than he could really handle. And so he quit coming to Sunday worship. I got to know Brian in some other ways, and he and I would get together every now and then and talk. And I really got to appreciate him and the heart that he had for others. Now, Georgia and the two boys continued to come even after Brian stopped. And they were part of the Sunday school. Little Brian went on to become part of the youth group. Georgia was elected to be one of our deacons. But then even they eventually, for various reasons, stopped coming. They haven't really been active in the church for a few years. But when we heard of Brian's death, the church rallied. There were people that made contributions that enabled us to do the memorial service here. Georgia works at Olive Garden, and they provided the bulk of the food, but we had a bunch of people that came and provided cookies and the drinks that we had and served and cleaned up and all of that. Our people were not quite half of all the ones that were here for the worship or for the memorial service. We showed our love for them. And knowing that we would not be repaid in any way for this, but we did it because we cared for them and that we knew them and we had a relationship with them. During the reception, I got my plate of food and I looked out to where I was going to sit. And there were two tables. There was one table with our church people sitting at it, and there was another table with friends and relatives of the family, none of which I knew. And I thought, all right, well, where am I going to sit? It'd be a whole lot easier to go sit with the church people. We'll have a good conversation. I'll kind of catch up with folks. And I thought, no, let me go sit with the people I don't know. And usually my experience in doing things like that, when I go and sit at a table where I don't know folks, is when, especially if like a memorial service like that or a wedding or something, it's the minister sitting there and I'm kind of the party pooper and conversations kind of die and people finish eating and they're ready to get up and leave. So I was kind of hesitant to go sit there, but decided to do it anyway. And I had the best time. We had people coming over telling us to shut up. We were too loud. It was you. It was you. She did it. She did it in a loving way. She wasn't being serious. But we were laughing and we were kidding around. And even in the midst of that, we were having some serious conversation. These people weren't going to be coming to our church. But here they had an opportunity to interact with someone from our church. And it continued even out into the parking lot. I went home and changed clothes and took my dog out. And then they're the last ones here. And they start to leave. And we continued the joking around and the conversation out in the parking lot for probably another 20 minutes or so. We don't know how things like this touch people's lives. I know Georgia and the two boys very much appreciated what we did. And I have to believe that it's going to have a profound effect on them. They have a church that loves them, that would do this for them. And they have friends and relatives that also see that there is a church that loved Georgia and Brian and little Brian and Jake. And so to our church, I commend you and I thank you for the ways you loved this family and their relative and their friends. And like I said, we don't know the impact that will have on their lives. I suspect we don't know the impact it's going to have on our lives. Because it's when we do things with the least and the forgotten and the ignored, when we do things for these people, they touch us in ways we can't imagine. For they are part of the kingdom of God, and they can teach us the values of that kingdom. And I think we got a wonderful lesson this past Friday. So let us continue and do this more, that we might humble ourselves and care for those who have much to teach us. Amen.